This podcast is going to answer the question, when did we die? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And we as humans think that death that Jesus was speaking of is like when the little boy died, the little girl died, and when Lazarus died. Now, when those three people died, Jesus didn't call that death. He called that sleep. They even laughed at him with the little girl. He put them out of the room. And then he woke her up and he said, now feed her some meat. He woke up the little boy. When Lazarus died, he told his disciples, I must go for Lazarus sleepeth. And they said, Lord, if he sleeps, won't he get better? So Jesus, I can just imagine him in my brain. I'm thinking, I could just see him shaking his head going, okay, for your sakes, I'll speak in this worldly language because you still can't hear me. Lazarus is dead. I'm going to go raise him from the dead. He didn't talk that language until they couldn't hear him. Before that, because remember, they'd been given ears to hear and eyes to see. And Jesus on more than one occasion said, is your heart still hard? Do you still not hear me? Is your heart still hard? Do you still not see me? Why do you talk in parables? And he was like going, are you kidding me? You still don't see? This is 3.5 years after they've been sitting under his ministry. After he's been their master teacher. He's walking through walls, taking coins out of fishes' mouths, disappearing when they try to stone him, making the ship teleport across the Sea of Galilee and snake biting him and not killing. All these miracles, feeding 5,000, and they still can't hear him. Right? So we're talking about, when did we die? When we came into this earth, I'm not exactly sure the fullness of understanding what Jesus called death and what we call death. I do know it's different, but I'm not going to say that I understand it fully. I'm going to give you what I understand I currently have. I do know that in Genesis, God put Adam in a trance and it never said he woke him up. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But it doesn't say he did. It just said he put him in a trance. So maybe they were already in a state of unconsciousness for all eternity from the beginning of when man was created. But surely at least somewhere after that, man died. When they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, you'll surely die. When you were a little girl, when I was a little girl, when whoever's listening to this was a little boy, you had experiences in your life that broke your heart. Those experiences, whether you cognitively thought it or not, your subconscious brain has a calculator. And it calculated, if God loves me, why would God let this happen? We now know that in every tribe, race, tongue, every nation, the brain has a neonet that presumes that God or a higher being exists. And when man walks away from that and says, I'm not going to believe in God because if God existed, he would be good. And if God lets all this stuff happen, then I don't even want that God. Actually, the brain begins to die. The brain begins to, it's different. There's a book called The God of Neurology or The God of the Brain, something like that. Somebody gave me. It's very interesting what happens to the brain when a person then chooses or falls into the place of there is no God. And the Bible says that a fool has said, in my heart there is no God. See, because God is in your heart. That's where he's at. But when we are so broken, I'll give you examples of brokenness. Three-year-olds, five-year-olds have witnessed mothers being beaten, mothers being raped, mothers being choked, mothers having their heads blown off. I have witnessed, talked to people where this is real. This is not like something in a movie. This is what I do every day. I work with about 450 people every day, and I can tell you so many horror stories that you would think that God is not good. Why would God let this happen to little bitty girls, to little bitty boys? Why did God allow the Holocaust? Why does God allow the what happened in Rwanda? Why did God allow what happened in Germany? Why did God allow what happened in Egypt? I mean, think about it. In Egypt, Pharaoh, they killed all the firstborn died. But it was the spirit of death that came over them. The only ones that lived was the ones that had the Passover blood. What about when Jesus was born? Herod killed all those children. Why would God let this happen if God's love? See, that's a normal question that human beings have, but we're taught to stay away from the answer. because that's to judge God. Well, just because you stay away from the question and the answer doesn't mean you haven't judged God. We've all judged God. And so now it's time that we reconcile that we've been judging God. We either judge God as good or we judge God as evil. Well, that tree that was in the garden is the knowledge of good and evil. God has all knowledge of good and evil. And God would not withhold himself from us. And he put the tree there knowing that we would eat from it. Knowing that that knowledge of good and evil is so big that human beings cannot handle it. It kills us. So he put man in a trance to protect us. He put us in an encapsulation. Just like you do a seed. God puts us, the life of the seed inside of a hard shell. And then he puts that seed into the ground so that it will die and then be transformed from a form of a seed to a tree or a plant or a fruit or a flower or whatever. Well, mankind's the same way. God put us in a hard outer shell, bones and flesh, in the earth. Why? Because that's where farmers plant things, is in dirt. So God put us in the earth to die. That's what we came here to do, to suffer and die on purpose. Why? So that which is mortal can put on immortality. Mortality is strong, but it's not strong enough to resist immortality. Immortality abides in your heart. How do I know that? Ecclesiastes says that the eternity is in the heart of a man. That's where it's at. So when you were little and you died, what died? Your heart died. You died to the knowledge that God is good. You died to the understanding that God is good, and all you could see was the evil. Honey, that was your death. Evil means darkness. It means evening. It means inability to see. That's all it means. It's not like devils and demons. It means to not see that God is good. It means to be in darkness. Darkness of what? That God is light, that God is good, that God is loving. So when you saw that, you believed your eyes. But your heart knew this can't be love. Love don't act like this. How did you know that? Because you came from love. That's how you knew. So you would rather die than to not be loved. And you did. You died. Why? Because to see the face of God will kill you. And in the face of God is the knowledge of all truth, the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. And only God can know that and it not kill him. So when we came and we tasted of the knowledge of good and evil, we died. You just think death means when this body wears out. No, you died a long time ago. Jesus said, they're not dead. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. And it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Guess what? You died a long time ago. Jesus said, there are many standing here right now who won't taste death until I return. That's the death that they're not going to taste. They're not. He's not talking about they're going to live eternally. Not that, maybe there was somebody there that hadn't died yet physically. But that's not what he was talking about. Why? Because when Jesus was speaking on the topic of death, man didn't ever understand him. You think he was talking, it was the same then as it was all the other times he talked about death. They will not taste that they're sleeping until I return. They will not taste that they were dead in their trespasses and sin until I return. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's why the disciples couldn't see and couldn't hear, because their heart was dead. He says, your heart's still hard. Is it still calloused? Is it still waxed? See, something that's calloused is dead. That's what he was saying. He was raising the physical dead all around, and yet he was going, are y'all still dead? Wake up! See, and he told the bride, arise and shine, my beloved. Wake up. Why would he tell her to awaken? Because she's been dead. That's why. So, honey, you've been dead. You've been the walking dead. You just didn't know it. You're about to experience resurrection. I'm about to raise you from the dead. And he said, what does that mean? Jesus said, greater works shall you do. Jesus raised physical dead. He healed physical eyes. He healed physical ears. He healed physical withered hands and legs and lame. He healed lepers. That means the outcast, the ones who their skin was inflamed with sores and discharge. And why is that? Because they've been discharged as human beings. They've been outcast. They are the rejected. That's what that means. It's in their skin. It means the feelings. They are the ones that society will not allow to be a part. Why? Because they don't fit society anymore. They're contagious. Jesus said, "Greater work shall you do than me." What's greater than that? Well, eyeballs are seen, ears are seen, bodies are seen, lepers are seen, and the dead is seen. He said, don't look at what you can see. What you can see is temporary. What you cannot see is eternal. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to open your blind eyes. I've already done it. I've opened your deaf ears just now, just by teaching you the truth. And now I'm going to raise your dead heart from the grave. Why? Because that's eternal. That's where eternity abides. See, these are the greater works. To raise your spiritual eyes. To raise your spiritual ears. So you can walk in God's statutes and keep His commandments. So you can know that you're the bride of Christ. So that you'll no longer have fear. Why? Because perfect love casts out all fear. And you might tremble, but it'd be like, ooh. Like, you ever seen the movie Lion King? And the Whoopi Goldberg, when she's the hyena, she says, somebody says Mufasa, she says, ooh, say it again. That's kind of how it is. Like, ooh, Jesus, say it again. Ooh. You will shake and you will tremble, but it won't be at the enemy. I can remember when I thought my son was going to die. And I'm walking across my floor, my heart's pounding. Pow! I could feel my heart in my mouth. And my breathing was different. And my legs felt like lead. And I walked across my floor and I threw my hands out like this. And I said, devil, whatever the heck that means. I don't even know what it means anymore. I said, whatever it is that God used to get credit for this, you'll never get credit again. Because only my husband buckles my knees. Only my husband takes my breath away. And only my husband will make my heart beat like this. And if this is the power that's needed to raise my son from the dead, so be it. And if it's the power for me to bury my son, so be it. Though he slay me, I will never give the enemy credit for what I'm feeling in my body. Why? Because only God is all powerful, and all means all. And I refuse to buckle my knee and bow to fear ever again. And when you think your child's dying, let me tell you something, ain't nothing more scary. And that day, God delivered me from the fear of my son dying. And on the same day, He told me, He said, go look up today's date. And it was the day that Reuben, Leah's firstborn, whose name means eyeballs, he found the mandrakes. And Rachel came to Leah. Leah means sorrow and suffering and grief. Rachel means twin lamb. Rachel comes to Leah and she says, can I have your son's mandrakes? Give me the boiling love of your son, because that's what mandrakes means. Mandrakes means a boiling love, a love that will not die. It also means dragon. It means the fire of a dragon in your belly. She says, give me your son's mandrakes. She said, you've taken the love of my husband. Must you also take the boiling love of my son? That was exactly what I said to God when I thought that my son was going to die. I said, God, you've taken Jesus, my husband. Must you also require the boiling love of my son? What are the odds that on the day that God reveals to me and requires my son and says, let go, Angela. Let go. What are the odds that on that day, it would be the same day of the anniversary of when Reuben found the mandrakes and Rachel asked Leah and Leah says that? I lived that Memorial Day, physically lived it, and my son lived. And I was grateful. When I kissed my son on his forehead and he was alive, there was nothing more joyful than that moment that God had given me one more day. See, not every mama has 26 years, because that's how old he was at the time when I thought he was going to die. Not every mama has their son that lived to 26. Some bury him at 3. Some bury him at 14. Some bury them at 33. And I don't know how long I hope both my children live until they bury me. I don't have a guarantee of that. Neither did Job. But I've learned through all my sorrow and suffering that God is good. That I was already dead in my trespasses and sin. And I had judged God. And I judged everybody else. And I became everything I judged. And that judgment woke me up. That judgment robed me in humility. I can't humble myself. Even if I humble myself, I could pat myself on the back and say, look how humble I made myself. Then the humility will be gone. Humbleness happens as a result, like it talks about in Lamentation. When I remembered, what's the word remember mean? Mary, it means a husband. When I remembered my misery, my wormwood, and my gall, I was humbled and my hope was restored. That's what it says in Lamentations. So what I'm going to facilitate for you today, I'm going to make it a little bit easier for you. I'm going to co-labor with you. I'm going to weep with you and I'm going to rejoice with you. Why? Because when you remember your misery, your wormwood and your gall, when you wail and you lament and you travail and you let God have his perfect way with you and you no longer calculate that as robbery to be equal with Jesus, you will never be the same again in your life. Just people hearing this on the podcast will experience this and they will have never met me. God will take them into the Garden of Gethsemane. God will take them to the city square where they called, give us Barabbas. They'll pick the one who's not innocent and punish the innocent one. Because let me tell you, that happens in every family. Happens everywhere. They'll disrobe him and beat him. Every family has somebody who's shamed and beaten, whether physically or verbally, still beaten. They can't open their mouth or it'll get worse. It'll torment them in their mind. How could God love me and let this happen? That's the crown of thorns on his head. Mm-hmm. They'll have to carry weight that is too heavy for them, just like Jesus had to carry weight. And it'll be up the place called the place of the skull. Their mind will be tormented. Why did my mama put all this weight on me? Why did my daddy put all this weight on me? Why do I have to be the one that carries the weight of the family? Mm-hmm. See, Jesus carried the weight of the whole world. So if you're going to marry him, you too are going to have to carry weight that seems unjust and unbearable, and you too will fall under the weight of it. And then there'll be things that you'll try to escape, and you won't be able to escape. You'll be nailed to it. You'll be nailed to the curse of what? Your forefathers. Third and fourth generation before you. And you'll be the one that wakes up from that sin of the forefathers. You'll be resurrected today. Because, honey, you're already dead. And we're going to face your judgment. And you're going to conquer death, hell, and the grave. Why? Because God's given me the keys. You don't ever get the keys to something, give the person the keys to something, and then say, stay out. God gave me keys to death, hell, and the grave. Why? So I could go in and get you out. That's what this is all about. This is about you being set free from your sin. What is sin? You've missed the mark. What mark? Mark means calculation. You've missed the calculation that God loves you. He always has, always will. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. And I'm going to show it not only to your brain, but I'm going to show it to your heart brain. And your heart is going to literally resurrect to the knowledge that God is good.